Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
My next guest made history by being the first woman of colour to be crowned Miss Universe Ireland in 2019. Now, amongst other things, it gave her the opportunity to travel the world and bust myths and stereotypes about Irish identity. And did I mention that she's, you know, also a scientist who works with NASA? Well, I'm delighted to say she's in studio, absolutely wrecking the place because her chair is falling apart as she sits down. Fionnuala O'Reilly, welcome back.
Hello, hello, welcome. Thank you.
It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you since 2019, which was a very busy time for you, I would have thought. But it seems that you just keep getting busier and busier and doing, I mean, it's amazing to see what you're doing. Now, for those who might not be totally familiar with your story, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your very international family?
Oh, yeah. So I come from a very diverse family. My mom, she's African-American and she's from San Francisco, California. And my dad, he is from North Dublin, from Sutton. And my parents met in San Francisco. And my dad eventually joined the United States military. Wow. And he's actually, I think, next year going on 30 years. Yeah, 30 years.
Long
so
time.
It's
wow.
been a long time.
Your name must cause a lot of hassle on your travels because I can barely spell it. You spell it Fionnuala, but what do people call you for short?
People call me Fig for short. That's a nickname that I received, I think I was about 15 years old. There's the silent G in Fionnuala, so yeah. In America, that is just an impossible name for people to read. Mm-hmm. So Fig kind of came about as just a simple, you know, a joke between friends, and it kind of just caught on. I knew I was Fig when my own family started calling me Fig. So
that's when you know.
Yeah, that's when you know.
Tell us how you went down the road into a career in engineering. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I started coding when I was 15. I was the product of one of these programs that targeted young girls, targeted minorities, low-income families in San Francisco. At the mm-hmm. time, I had been living there for about a year. And one of my math teachers, he really pushed me to apply to this program. I did not want to because at the time, to a 14-year-old, spending my summers learning science, math, engineering concepts.
It's not cool.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Yeah.
But I wound up applying to the program and I was accepted. And so every summer I spent my time living at UC Berkeley, attending, college level courses with other students that were doing the same thing and had the same interests. And that really changed everything for me because it was the first time that I realized that, you know, not only was I good at, you know, math and some of these subjects, I could probably have a career in this if I really wanted. I didn't grow up knowing anyone who was an engineer, for example.
Do you feel that's very young to be doing that kind of mixing in those circles? Do you feel, looking back, you missed out a little bit on a childhood, so to speak, or your teenage years? Do you feel you've missed out on anything?
The things that I feel like I missed out on are different in that, you know, my family, we were so transient. We moved every couple of years. Sometimes we only lived places for 6 months at a time.
Okay.
So by the time I was, 17 in my last year of school, I had already been through 9 different schools. And the only consistency that I had was, you know, my family, my sisters. I'm one of 6. I have 5 sisters.
Wow.
And
imagine the scraps in that house.
You can imagine.
I can say.
But it actually allowed me to focus, I think, on my schoolwork, which I genuinely enjoyed. But things that I feel like I missed out on, you know, I look at people who love sports in their local hometowns and they really rally behind things like that, or simply just knowing where things are, you know. I'd never spent more than just a couple years, 2 or 3 years living any one place. So I couldn't tell you where things were all over the city, you know? So in a way, that was something that I envied in other people.
Gotcha. And then you start your first modeling contract at 19 years old. Did you not feel tempted to follow the glam and the glitz of modeling full time and just forget about all the college Malarkey.
Oh, yeah. Did absolutely.
You?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was ready to throw it all away.
You said, this is way more fun and less work. And why didn't you? Was it your family going, you better go to college and finish up here?
Oh, my dad definitely wanted me to get, you know, my piece of paper. That's how you'd always say, get your piece of paper and then do whatever you want. But I deep down, I just couldn't let it go. Becoming an engineer, it was the first real dream that I had for myself. And I really enjoyed that work. And I think I kept going back and forth for the first 4 years that I was in school. I was flying back and forth between Milan and going back to Washington, D.C., where I studied systems engineering at the George Washington University. And I struggled because, you know, I'd found this new passion, this thing that I really loved. But a part of me could not let go what I had already been on the path for. And I'm glad that I didn't let it go, because all too often we are taught, you know, you have to choose between, you know,
pick a box.
Yeah, pick a box, you know, and I think we should, as women, be encouraged to explore different things, but mm-hmm. we should be encouraged to, you know, not let things go. You know, if you want to keep a leg in each lane, then absolutely do so.
I read that on your travels as Miss Universe Ireland. You thought it was a great opportunity to break the stereotype around Irish people, which we talk about on the show quite a bit, that, you know, we're not just a bunch of crazy boozers.
Oh, you know, that was... So becoming the first woman of colour, but also the first Black woman to represent Ireland at any international pageant, that was an experience I'll never forget. And it was prolonged because of the pandemic. So I wound up in that role for 17 months.
Wow.
And it was, you know, the most incredible... roller coaster of just so many things. But one thing that did become apparent to me is that, no, the broader international community does not realize the complexities of Irish identity.
Yeah.
And I think as you know, I'm a Black woman, but I'm also biracial. But I identify as Black because Black culture, Black identity, it is very multifaceted. And my experience as a woman has been that of as a Black woman. And I was raised by a Black woman. But I realized through this experience that there's still a lot that needs to be done in showing who we are to more people, because there are stereotypes about what it means to be Irish. And I've had my identity questioned a lot because of that.
Interesting. Yeah, because you talk about the importance of holding space, you say, for women of colour in Ireland. So can you just elaborate on that? What do you mean exactly by that?
So I mean, in the way that we... So last year, we saw national conversation in response to Black Lives Matter, in response to what we saw happen with George Floyd.
Yeah.
That reverberated internationally and even here at Ireland. In all my years, I've never seen such national conversation about race in this country.
Wow.
And I think it was a fantastic thing, because we were able to peel back some layers and talk about, what does identity in Ireland look like? What does it mean? And for me, what I've realized is that no identity is going to be just like anyone else's. There's a lot of diversity in that not everyone's experience is going to look the same. And that's actually, I think, quite beautiful. But it's something that we do need to bring to the forefront, specifically with Black women in media. I think that we should be holding more space for each other, that the media should hold more space for us. And sometimes, you know, there can become a crab in a barrel sort of mindset, where instead of uplifting one another, we're trying to take over the same space. And I don't think that we should be doing that. For me, when I inherited this role of becoming a first, which still blows my mind, because, you know, in the history of pageantry in Ireland, you know, for there still to be, you know, we're still having firsts for women.
Yeah.
It does seem so much bigger than yourself. But it also, I think, it made me realize that there is a responsibility for other young women that are going to come through this pipeline. And I think that we absolutely need to make sure that we're holding space, not just for one at a time, but for multiple, because there is diversity even within the Black community. Not every one person is going to have the same story. And we need to hear multiple stories. We need to, again, hold space so that more people can share who they are and talk about the things that are important to our communities.
And now, you mentioned there are inaccurate reports marginalizing and erasing the stories of Black women. This is something you'd like to address, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I first won Miss Universe Ireland in 2019, I received a lot of hate on social media and online about my race. People who said that I wasn't Irish enough, that, you know, I could not represent Irish beauty because I have dark skin and dark hair and, you know, a big curly afro. And in recent weeks, I've recently received the same thing online, but in equal and opposite measure, in that I'm not black enough. People saying that, you know, they're arguing about my identity. And I think that it's hard to see that we don't have enough, I think we don't have enough conversations, or we need to continue conversations that we did start. But we need to circle back around and say, you know, there is space for more people to talk about their identities, but we shouldn't be projecting that onto them. We should be asking them, what has your experience been? And any misleading or inaccurate reports that demean someone's background or their identity, I think that there's no place for that. And that's no way to move progression forward.
Some people might say that, you know, diversity and inclusiveness are just buzzwords. They are buzzwords of the moment, aren't they? Do you think there is enough being done in Ireland? You know, you said we started a conversation recently and, you know, it was great. Little bit late, you know, it was a little bit late. But are we doing enough, Fionnuala, to continue that conversation? Do you, just speaking of Ireland, because I know you travel around the globe quite a bit, but are we doing enough in Ireland? Well, my question, basically.
I don't want to undermine the efforts, because there's a lot of great things that are coming out of all of this. This year, I was able to give a keynote for a Google HQ here in Dublin, a talk on International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. A part of this talk is about diversity and inclusion. And like you said, Jen, those words oftentimes are buzzwords. But what does that really look like? My background, I'm a systems engineer. I work in data science, so I'm a numbers person. I like measurable data. How can we actually figure out if the systems that need improvement are able to see that improvement? And you start with a top-down approach. You start with defining your mission. And, you know, progress is it's an iterative process. You have to come back around and come back around and come back around and keep advancing things. So I don't think that, you know, of course, there's more to be done, but I don't want to undermine. We have done some really great work so far. But in order to keep going, we have to come back and circle back around and say, well, OK, where did we miss the mark here? And then we need to go and do better.
Absolutely. Especially with stats like hate crime in Ireland, you know, on the rise in the last year, especially. They're quite frightening stats. And when you hear that, you think, oh, my God, we're having this conversation. We're talking about diversity. We're talking about inclusion. And Ireland is a very progressive little island. And then when you hear stats like that, you think, oh, my God. Do you get disheartened when you hear that? Or does that make you just want to push on even harder?
You know, I think all the things that I've been through in my life, the things that I've seen, the my perspective in the world, I think in a way that I have been desensitized to some of the violence, some of the things that we've seen happen in the world in regards to the Black community, and that's not a good thing. You shouldn't be desensitized, but you know, there's so much trauma that has occurred. You know, the Black, the African diaspora, it's so large worldwide. And there's so many problems that we've seen, not just, you know, just worldwide when it comes to how people of color can be treated, the systemic differences that have held them back over time. And there are a lot of things that we can do to move forward. But, you know, this month is Black History Month in Ireland and the UK. I personally am going to be celebrating and talking more about the things that I think need to be brought to the forefront. I'm excited because looking forward, you know, I do feel, again, a responsibility to do what I can, which is why, you know, when I was Miss Universe Ireland, I had a platform based on advocating for women and diversity in STEM, which is science, technology, engineering and math. And I've been able to continue that working on a television series called Mission Unstoppable in the U.S. But also now I'm excited because I'm venturing out on my own. And I for the past year, I've been working on a tech company that will be launching here soon called Space to Reach. And the mission of that organization is to close the opportunity gap for Black and brown women here, both here in Ireland and the U.S. That's something that I'm looking forward to bringing to the forefront, because it's something that You know, it's something that I can focus on where I can make some significant change.
Mm. So just for any parent listening today, you mentioned there it's Black History Month. What can we do in the home, let's say, you know, in the home with our children to talk about diversity, inclusiveness? What would you recommend or what would you say people start?
Well, you know, even for Black History Month, I mean, even starting with sharing the stories of Black people in this country, there are some amazing accomplishments and contributions that people of color, Black people, that they've made for Ireland. And I think that if, you know, you even just share these stories, you know, that's a wonderful place to start. I participated in a documentary this year. It's called 20 Pearls, and it's the story of Alpha Kapp Alpha Sorority Incorporated, which I am a member of. I know sororities, you know, that is a far cry.
Well, mention the two other members, the well-known member. Who else is in that sorority?
Two other members, Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, and Dr. Mae C. Jemison, the first Black woman to go into outer space, a hero, you know, both
amazing
heroes of mine. And, you know, there's a long history of really notable women that have come out of this sorority. I was delighted that I was able to participate in the telling of this story. We recently just won an award with HBO, and I was able to participate. I held a conversation at a film festival with the directors and the producers of this film, and the conversation was surrounded, why do Black women need to tell their own stories? And what I learned from that experience was that we need to tell our own stories because the only seats at the table reserved for us are the ones that we pull up ourselves. Our histories can often be marginalized. Mm-hmm. They often can be overlooked. And if we're not the ones to tell our stories, you know, historically we've seen that they just won't get told. And that's such a loss, you know, and that goes back to the idea of holding space for more Black stories. And this month, you know, if you're looking to celebrate, I would say search for some of these Black stories.
That is some very good advice and a thing we should all do, especially celebrating Black History Month. Fionnuala O'Reilly, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. You've so much to do. Oh my God, I was going to ask you what does the future hold, but after listening to all that you're doing, I'm like, maybe you need to lie down, a little holiday for yourself. But I wish you the very best luck. Thank you so much for coming in to the studio to talk to us today. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.